keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Church, let me hear you one more time. Come on, give it up for that band. Hey, I gotta admit, it's selfish, dude. I love hearing the crowd back in the room, and so it just means the world to us that you got out of bed, man. You found us, you got your kids dropped off, and you made it back, man. It is so good to have you back. Yeah, I like that. He's already excited about it as well. But let me tell you, it is not possible without the volunteers. So I mentioned in the little in-between songs, but I'm serious. For all of the childcare people, for the people that are setting up and tearing down, can you do me one more favor and let them know how much you appreciate all their hard work? You cannot do it without the volunteers. For 14 years, all right, this simple church has been moving and moving and moving. And so many of you don't really know what it takes to make it happen. So when we moved from the municipal auditorium over to Brookshire's Grocery Arena for Easter, we pulled together just a little video, some clips and stuff, just to kind of give you an inside look into how difficult and challenging that is, but also what an amazing staff we have that makes that possible. So this is just a little appreciation, but also a little educational video for you. So tune in, and thank you again for being here. Watch this. Hey, what's up, Simple Church? What we're doing right now, we're leaving the Municipal Auditorium. We're headed to the Brookshire Grocery Arena. So what you don't get to see many times is exactly what it takes to make that happen. From wrapping cables to toting cases to setting up to tearing down, everything that you see, somebody has to lay their hands on it. So thanks for watching. Enjoy the video. And hey, why don't you serve? Get involved with us.
Been helping out, tearing up and setting down approximately 11, maybe 12 years. Setting up, tearing down, 5 o'clock in the morning. Even the first Easter in CenturyLink, we were there at midnight setting up. So it's been a long time, but it's been fun. Pretty much completely out of the municipal. We're taking gear, dropping it at the arena, and we're just doing that today.
We've been volunteering more or less since then. My wife used to run the cafe. We've had one Easter, we had the whole cafe. My wife ran with nothing but our family. So. I love the Simple Church. We love the Simple Church.
Come on, y'all. Give it up. Give it up one more time. How awesome is that? What's really, really cool about this is when we look back and we watch what it takes to make it happen, I can tell you, 10 years in the arena, 14 years of Simple Church, there's a whole lot of moving, a lot of moving stuff. And what I have figured out, you can probably, as my age, figure this out. Moving is hard. Can I get an amen from old people, all right? 51 years old, I don't move quite as fast. I don't move quite as good. As a matter of fact, I was reminded when I looked at the Easter video this past week. We were doing a little recap, and you know how you do stuff in Easter. You have fun, and you get them going, and I'm thinking, man, let me go back and watch that. There was a section in that Easter service where I tried to get you up and dance and have a little fun, and some of y'all still were like this. You know, but there was one nanny, she went ahead and went for it, son. And so we had a little fun with that. And so I said, you know what, let's go ahead and recap that. And maybe in this room, if you missed Easter, you would know how much fun we have, but you would also know there's one nanny and it was her birthday and she threw it down old school, son. So let's go ahead and watch the video. Watch.
Go ahead and take your cell phone out right now. Take your cell phone out.
Take that cell phone out now. Come on now.
Look for one of your favorite contacts in there, and you go ahead and call them, and you tell them it's about to get funky. 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Come
on now, y'all feel it. Come on.
I see you down there. That's what I'm talking about. That's Yo, what I'm talking about.
She didn't high, say high side, no
high,
this
right. is
the This is the last chance. 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Time that horn section, that band throwing it down. Give it up for Nanny. Did y'all see her in the green dress? I'm telling you right now, all I can tell you is right as we kind of went away, I wish we'd had a closer video of her because it was one of the best moments of Easter for me because she didn't care if she's the only one in there. She's going to have a good time, son. She was throwing it down, having a good time. So everybody asked me, like, well, Justin, do you regret anything about that? The only move I really regretted was this one right here. I don't really know. You know, you watch it, you're like, what was that? You know, is that the fish? I mean, that's the fish, son. But then I thought, well, maybe I don't regret my dance moves. What I really regret at 51 years old, after jumping, hopping, dancing, doing all that, moving from municipal to here, setting up and tearing down, I regret the fact that I sat down. Now you go, Justin, why? Because there is a phrase that old people really do relate to and understand. When you have been moving a lot, and you're dancing, or you're working in the yard, or you're running, or you're exercising, you finally stop and you sit down, the phrase is called stove up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You just get stove up. Man, everything's like, whoa, so I sat down and I'll stove up. Now, if you don't know what stove up is, Kevin Russell, this video is for you. My brother John Hagler, this is a video for you, is because this is good old Sling Blade telling us about stove up. Watch.
Up.
Good job, Cole. We got a touchdown.
I darn near made me a touchdown. And then I seen them boys bearing down on me. Figured I better give it off to you there. I seen you following me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like to win if we keep this up. With somebody like you, you sure can run fast. Mm. Come on, let's kick off to it.
All right, then.
Can we play every Saturday?
If I ain't too stove up, I ain't like you. I'm old and give out. Mm.
Anybody old and give out in here? This is the thing. I heard a couple of people. The reason they can barely clap is they already give out. They just like, oh, yeah, I can barely clap. Here's what I have figured out about 2020 and stove up. Are you ready for this? When we came through 2020, pandemic, everybody locked down, everybody's laid up, I figured out it made every one of us stove up a little bit. And if I were to add another old person phrase, it would be blocked up. So you got stove up and blocked up. Now you go, Justin, what are you talking about? Every old person, you know what I'm talking about. But young people, I'm finna educate you, all right? I have an old friend of mine. He has some digestive issues. You're going, he ain't going there. Hang on, here we go. And in the process of him having these digestive issues, Bobby Stevenson, he had to go to the hospital, all right? And as Bobby was going to the hospital and they were trying to work through all the things that he had going on, he was trying to set goals to get out of the hospital. He had some surgeries, had some things going on. They're like, Bobby's like, listen, I'm a goal person. I need to know what it takes to get out of this hospital. Help me understand. The nurse said, I'm going to make it real simple for you, Bobby. This is it. You want a goal? This is it. Movement produces movement, Bobby. And Bobby's like, ooh, okay, I get it. And what was she telling him? If you're going to get out of this hospital, you need to get up, start walking, and get things moving in your body. Old people, can I get an amen? The reason you didn't want to dance in that first little part right there, because you drank coffee and a donut. Hang tight. Don't move anymore, all right? You already know movement produces movement. Now, I understand that some of you are going, man, I don't even know where we're going today. Trust me, you're going to get it by the end to understand exactly what we're talking about. But as I age, I realize when I don't move, I get stove up. The pandemic, many of you didn't move. You didn't watch the services. You didn't tune in. You couldn't come to church. So you're like, oh, my gosh. And so now the reason it's weird and the reason you're trying to get things going is because you're stove up. You're blocked up. And so I am so thankful for you getting up and bringing your kids and coming back in this room because we're moving today. Can I get an amen? Come on. And here is why this matters so much. There are lessons learned from that. The more we move, the more we can move. Simple Church has taught us this 100%. We're in Dallas this past weekend. All right, we're launching another campus. It's bringing it all back to me. 14 years ago, we launched with a very small group of people, and it took a lot of moving to make it happen. We moved buildings, we moved locations, we moved equipment, we moved kids, we moved volunteers. And in that process, man, there was life, and then it produced more movement, and it kept going on. The more we moved, the more we continued to move. And then 2020 happened. All right, and everybody was like, all right, we were already getting slower because we're older, and everybody's like, I'm not moving as fast, but you were still moving. And then everyone just locked down, sat down, and got blocked up. And in the process of all of that, you're going, man, I need to get going. I need to get things happening again. And it's not easy. This is why today matters more probably than any other Sunday, because you're finally here. Now, I realize some of you at home watching, you're still there. Thank you, and I respect that. Man, thanks for tuning in. But this lesson applies whether you're watching online or you're in this room, because it is about taking steps to health. We know that when you are healthy, you move. And the more you move, the healthier you become. I will prove that once again with a 90-year-old man in his birthday wish. 90 years old. Check out my boy right here. Watch this.
For his birthday wish, he wants everyone to share his motivational fitness story. So I'm helping him do it on vacation last week in Arizona. I filmed his fitness and workout routine, including weights, walking. You see those hardcore push-ups? Did I mention he's 90 years old?
Give it a gump. Give it up for my boy. 90 years old, man, working it, son. Push-ups, sit-ups, lifting weights, and here's the thing. In the whole spiritual realm of God and his creation of us as humans, you got to know that the bottom line is simple. He created you to move. And when you don't move, you become unhealthy. That is why some of you, again, when you look back at 2020 and even part of 2021, you've not been moving a lot. I mean, you're just kind of slowly walking through things. But particularly when it comes to spiritual things, you have atrophied. And you go, well, what is atrophy? All right, kinesiologist right here, son. Big word for PE coach. Here it is right here. This is one thing they taught us in school. My degree is in kinesiology. And they talked about when you have a sports injury or you injure yourself, it could be a broken leg, it could be a strain, and you don't work that muscle. It shrinks. It actually reduces in size. So this guy right here obviously had some kind of injury. His leg was probably in a cast. And once that leg got in that cast and it could not move, it shrank. In the same way, your spiritual life, your relationships, you've reduced those. You begin to go, man, I just don't feel as connected. I just don't feel like I have any friends. I just don't really feel like I know what's going on. Well, one of the reasons why is because we're not moving. We have stopped the spiritual progression. And I know what some of you are saying, like, well, Justin, it's kind of like this. The older I get, the harder it is, and I can't run anymore. I hear you, I understand that, but the lesson that I am learning at 51, then just do something. Take a walk. Get involved as much as you possibly can. Turn on the TV, watch the YouTube, watch an old message. Why? Because even the movement of turning on the TV to go, all right, God, what do you want to say to me, can help you in your spiritual journey. For you guys that brought your kids and you're getting back in the flow, just getting up. And I know it's not easy. You're trying to get donuts and you're walking all the way from the car. And the whole time you're going, man, this is hard. This ain't like, well, this is difficult. But here's what I'm learning. The more you move, the healthier you become, and when you refuse to move, you literally can die. When you stay still, you literally die physically and spiritually. This is the part that I think many of us overlook or underestimate. Is you think that you can continue this journey and you can continue being a strong Christian or walking with God or being a better parent or a better friend when you're not working on it. If you're not actively pursuing those things, man, it atrophies. It actually kind of gets stagnant. And if you want to know about stagnant, I'm going to show you my pool when my liner ripped on the top when the snowpocalypse happened. This is what it looks like. If you've ever had any kind of swimming experience where you go to a pool and the water doesn't circulate, it doesn't begin to move, it has to be shocked back into action. It has to be shocked back into movement. And you have to turn the filters on and you have to clean. And I'm telling you, when the storm came through, we were in Dallas this past week and I saw we had all these storms come through. I got back last night late and I looked and it was back full again of leaves. Can anybody say, oh, me on that? I'm like, man, I just got all this cleaned out of here. And man, I'm talking about it just piled back in. So I had a choice. I could say, man, I ain't gonna deal with it. Just whatever, it'll be all right. And then what happens? It clogs up the filter, the water can't move, and it will turn green just like that. In the same way, Jesus was using illustrations like this to talk about us in our journey. You're going, are you ever going to talk about Jesus, brother? Hang on, here we go. John chapter 7, verse 38. If anyone believes in me, rivers of living water, not dead, stagnant water, right? Living water will flow out from your heart. This is one thing that I am still working on and still learning. It has to flow out. When you just sit there and you take and you take and you receive, but there's no way to give, there's no way to give back, there's no way to sacrifice, to serve a little, you can get stagnant because you only focus on yourself and that water just stays there and your life feels empty, dead. And for many people, last week was the big move that you finally make coming back to Easter, and now you've continued this week. I am proud of you, dude. I'm telling you, these are the beginning steps of you getting back on track. For some, it was still too big of a move. They're not ready yet, and that's okay. This is the challenge. Wherever you are, if you made it last week, or you made it this week, or you finally turned on the TV, and you're trying to get back in the flow, just take a step. Just move towards helping someone else. Move towards serving in some capacity. Move towards, I'm going to get up and get my kids moving back in church. And what I'm learning, especially as I age, the more you move, the easier it is to make the next move. But I have also understood this very clearly this past weekend. We went to Dallas a lot, going over there, setting up, tearing down. They had a partner party. They had a big crawfish bowl. And I thought about how uncomfortable I was as I got out of bed each morning going, man, at 51, it's not quite as easy as it was at 38 when we launched this church. The Dallas people right now are watching and they're going, man, I hear you, brother. They have a watch party. They gather up and they're going, man, it's not quite as easy to get up the next morning after you spent all day Saturday setting up and cooking and having a party and bringing the band and setting all that stuff up. It's not very comfortable. Man, your bodies are not used to it. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it. And one thing I have learned in 51 years is that when Jesus says follow him, it always leads to you being uncomfortable. He is never focused on, man, you just stay comfortable. You can take a step, but here's the thing. Those steps lead to, this is a little awkward. This is still a little weird for me. I saw it yesterday. We had new people coming into the North Dallas campus. And they're stepping out of their house. They don't know everybody. It's a little uncomfortable. And they're going, man, okay. And then they're trying to meet some new people. Some of you in here today, you've never been to Simple Church before. Maybe you've watched online and you finally got here and you're going, it's a little uncomfortable. I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. But here's where it's so awesome, is as you follow Jesus and as you begin to take those steps, you begin to understand that in that uncomfortable state, God shows you things, He teaches you things. Jesus actually helps you to become alive like you've never been alive before. Most church activity that we grew up in required a couple of things. Sit down and listen. And what we try to do in the Simple Church is challenge you to move. We are glad that you're here. We're glad that you sing a song or that you, again, listen to the message. But our ultimate goal is for you and I to follow Jesus into the uncomfortable, life-giving water that flows into the world and changes it. Not where it sits still and gets stagnant and dies. We have to move to live. Matthew 8 gives a great example of a religious guy encountering with Jesus, and watch how this shook out. It says a religion scholar asked if he could go along. He was looking at Jesus. He came in. He saw the awesome stuff Jesus was doing, and he was excited. Man, maybe he just saw a miracle. Maybe he saw the feeding of the 5,000. He's like, man, this is awesome. And he says, I'll go with you wherever. Because this guy was pumped. He was like, dude, I know religion. I know how to follow you. I'm going to go with you. And then Jesus hits him with the punchline. He says, okay, well, then are you ready to rough it? Now, this is not the line that churches usually come. Hey, man, come to Simple Church. It's going to be horrible. We'll sit you on the floor. You know what I'm saying? You'll eat a stale donut. You know what I'm saying? We won't take care of your kids. We have no air conditioning. It'll never be fun at all. Just follow him. You'd be like, I don't know about all this. That's what he was saying. He was actually implying that, hey, when you get on this journey, so many times in the American church and the way we work is, meet every one of my needs exactly the way I like it, and then I will follow you and I'll buy in. Jesus was saying just the opposite. He said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to be very uncomfortable. You're going to have to rough it. You're going to do things you don't want to do. You're going to have to be involved in stuff that is not fun, pretty. You're going to see stinky leprosy people coming around. You're going to see us talk to groups of people that you don't think we should talk to. We're going to value groups of people that you don't value. I am going to do things so out of the box, it's going to make you uncomfortable in every way. But you will live life to the fullest if you'll do it. It's going to cost you, though. It's going to hurt when you move and follow me. Now, I know that's not very popular. And I understand that in our modern American culture, the American church has sold this vision, this dream of we're going to try to make you as comfortable as possible. And I am trying my best to remind you and live this out in the Simple Church, that when we ask you to pursue the uncomfortable, when we ask you to stretch yourself a little bit, we are more like Christ than any other time. As a matter of fact, that scripture that when you see this, Matthew 8, if you were to look at that, Jesus even went into, this is the scripture that talks about foxes have holes, they have dens, a bird has a nest, but I, the Son of Man, I don't even have a place to lay down. I don't even have a place to call my home. So in the Simple Church, when we don't own buildings, when we don't try to manage empty buildings during the week, and we don't try to find creative ways to have more buildings, one of the things that's very uncomfortable and very difficult and very challenging is that in that we set up and we tear down and we get tired and we need you to help buy in. We need you to move and set this up. Even right before we got up here, one of the screens was acting up and we're back here trying to figure out how to put it in the room. If you're in a building that you own all the time, all that stuff's done. But for us, it's uncomfortable to work through all those tensions. But let me tell you something, you've never been more like Jesus when you do it, because this is what it's like. It doesn't matter if it's going in our town to an uncomfortable neighborhood to feed kids that are hungry, or to put shoes on the feet of children who don't have shoes, or to deliver a bicycle like our Do Good Golf Tournament is all about. They raise money and then provide gifts, working through the Shreveport Police Department or the schools in our town, and going into neighborhoods and loving on kids that many times are overlooked, broken, forgotten. And some of you are like, well, I don't even like coming to it was a stretch for me to come to Shreveport. Come on, man. Come on, this is what's so crazy in our culture, that we would think that it has to be exactly the way we want it, when we want it, or we can't follow. It is not the way Jesus was, or he's not the way that he's calling us to be now. He said, man, will you risk it? Will you move a little bit? Will you get uncomfortable? Will you stretch yourself a little bit? And when you get on this journey, I'll show you things that you've never seen before. You'll experience life like you've never experienced it, but if you don't move and you stay there and you kind of get locked down, dude, you're going to get stagnant. It's going to be pretty empty. It's going to be pretty dead. Jesus said, again, this is a great reminder in 1 Peter as we start looking at his life. It says, this is the kind of life you've been invited to. This is Peter talking about Christ. He said, it's the kind of a life that Christ lived for us. You go, well, what kind of life did Christ live? Wasn't this awesome? Is this a celebration part? No, look at the next part. He suffered everything that came his way so that you and I would know that it could be done. Pause. When you're going through a difficult time, when you're in the middle of financial crisis, relationship crisis, pandemics, you could go through a health crisis on your own, the death of a loved one. I could think of all of these very difficult circumstances, the suffering that comes with living this life. And you're going, man, how in the world can we get through it? He's going, let me tell you how. You're going to follow Jesus. You're going to move in your life to be more like him. And when you do, you will see that he suffered and shows you can do it. Well, how do we do it? 1 Peter continues when it says, he says that you will do it step by step. So in other words, I'm asking you, hey, man, get in a life group. Man, volunteer, serve, go on this trip overseas or do whatever. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't know that I could ever be a part of that. Just take the first step. Man, I don't think I can ever get free from addiction. I don't think I'll ever get over this divorce. I don't think I'll ever get over this health crisis. I am just paralyzed. I am just stuck. He's like, no, the only way to get free is to follow the example of Christ. Just through our suffering, through the uncomfortable side of things, just keep moving. And when you stop moving, you die. When you stop moving, you get stove up and blocked up. And the only way to move is to keep moving. That is why today is a big reminder for all of us in this room. And you go, I don't know if I can do it, Justin. It's been tough. It's difficult. The older I get, the harder it is. Philippians 4:13, you ready? Christ gives me strength to face what? Anything. It doesn't matter what you're going through or what the world throws at you. You can, through the power of Jesus, make it through anything. Financial trouble, relationship trouble, health trouble. It doesn't matter, but you have to keep following him. And this is what I love about Jesus. You ready for this? He moved to us to show us what it was like so that we could see him do it. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood. I mean, this Word that you're reading, this Scripture, man, remember, you can download the app. You can download my notes. They're all on our app. All you have to do is get it. You can see all of this. But here's the point. These words, the truth of the Scripture became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You're talking about a cool, refreshing idea? Is our God's not distant? He's not far off. Man, he moved into this world so that when you go, man, you just don't know how hard it is out here. He's like, yeah, I do. I lived thousands of years ago when poverty was at an extreme level. I lived thousands of years ago. Jesus said, I walked this planet when you think you have division, you think you have oppression under your government. I was under the Roman Empire. Man, I saw poverty at a level you've never experienced. I've seen women that were totally disrespected in their culture, had no value. Jesus said, and I came in to reverse all of that. I uplifted women. The first woman, I mean, first person he told that he was the Messiah was, guess who? A woman in sin at the well who had multiple husbands. And he was like, I am the Messiah. Why did he do that? To say, women have value to me. They're not going to be overlooked. They're not going to be oppressed. I'm going to change things. Why did he pick the Samaritan to be the hero of the story? Man, they were an outcast. They were a half-breed. That was a racism moment for them in their culture. And Jesus says, I'm picking them, the Samaritans, the ones you think are the bad ones. They could never know God. They're the hero in my story. Why? Because he was flipping it all upside down. He moved into the neighborhood and he saw the issues that people had and he said, man, let me tell you something. If you're going to follow me, I'm going to call you to be uncomfortable. I'm going to call you to treat women with respect when in their culture they didn't. I'm going to cause you to treat all people equally, regardless of their skin color or where they're from. I'm going to challenge you to be so uncomfortable and so alive that you'll never want to be the same again. And it's going to cause you and challenge you to continue to move. You can't say, well, I've done that before. It's been in the past. I've been on a trip. I've helped in a life group. I've served before. And now where are you? Dead? Empty? You feel like you're missing life? And he's like, let me tell you why. Because you got to keep moving. And what I love about Jesus is he's not mad at us. He's not frustrated. It's just another invitation to move. It's another reminder to say, dude, I'm walking with you. I understand where you're at, and I got your back. But let's not quit following me. Let's not give up on that. Keep on the journey. Now, I thought about how I could illustrate this again in a modern way. And my associate pastor, Steve Hartman, he needed a week off. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He was tired. I just couldn't pull him back in today. So I went and researched, and I looked, and I found another great example of how to understand what it means when we have a God who came into our world and who sympathizes with us, but he doesn't just sympathize with us. He actually solves problems you and I can't solve on our own. That's why he moved in the neighborhood. And the best example that I could think of was, y'all remember the show Undercover Boss? Anybody watch Undercover Boss? Four of you. The rest of you, it's on CBS, I think. You might want to tune into it because every once in a while, something happens where you get this idea of going, man, here is this boss who many times in the corporate world seems distant and far off and kind of arrogant, and he really doesn't know what's going on. They change their appearance and they come and work with the part-timers, the low people on the totem pole, if you will. And in that interaction, it always opens the eyes of the boss, and it always challenges the boss to do something really radical and different. And this story is no different. And it reminds me of Jesus himself, our ultimate undercover boss. I'll make those transitions and those correlations after watching the video. Watch this.
It's, you know, we've been homeless for a long time. We live in a shelter now. It doesn't
matter. You live in a shelter? What kind of shelter?
It's a homeless shelter. Been there for about, like, 2 years now. I have three children, you know, that are in school and stuff like that. A four-year-old, a three-year-old, and a 20-month-old. Yes. It doesn't matter, though. I don't want you to feel sad for me or anything. It was way worse than that. We've slept at bus stops. We've been down to where as though we didn't have any money to eat. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you something. Things get better. As long as you have that drive in there, as long as you push and you push, things are gonna get better. You're gonna be fine.
I have never experienced a moment like this, knowing what she's gonna be going home to.
I think about that homeless shelter, where you go home every night since I left you. It kills me to see that you're still there. So I have a check for you. Because I want you to move out of there immediately, like tonight.
What? No, you cannot be serious.
I'm serious. And so I have on me a check for $250,000.
Oh my God. No, no. Oh my goodness, no.
Angel, are you okay?
Oh my God.
I have a financial advisor that I'm setting up with you, and taxes are taken out, so it's $250,000.
What? Oh my God.
And I don't want you to live in that homeless shelter ever again.
I'm going to tell my children that we're not going back to the shelter anymore, that we're going to have our own place. Oh my God. They can run out back, play in their backyard. They can be kids.
Come on, man. Give it up for Undercover Boss. There are so many things in that video that I can relate to. You go, what do you mean? Well, I see Jesus in a couple of ways. Number one, did you see that when she was at her breaking moment, when he had blessed her, that she fell to her knees? And what did the boss do? Get up. I got this check I got to give you. He laid down with her. For a CEO to lay on the ground and to provide a quarter of a million, anybody want your boss to drop a quarter of a million on you tomorrow? Extravagant giving. Rebuilding their lives. And the reason I brought the Lego out is because when you don't understand Simple Church and you're trying to figure out what we're doing, this is just one example. It sure was an awesome experience on Easter, but it's available even today because here is the thing. It's about following Jesus into the uncomfortable situations, whether that's Lebanon or a kid battling cancer or someone right here in our community who's lost a loved one or lost their job, and how can we pick them up and rebuild them? Well, we do it through resources. We don't take offerings in here. That's different, right? We've never done that. What I do tell you, if you give money to the Simple Church, and I ask on a Sunday morning, it's for one reason, to give 100% of it away, to rebuild lives. So when you walk out and you want to pick up a Lego today, you can still do that. And understand that the purpose of doing that is very simple. To represent Christ in this community and meet needs and help people keep moving. Did you see her story? Did you hear? She was like, listen, I'm homeless and I'm in a shelter and I've gone through this and I've had to move from this and move that, but just keep moving. Keep pressing on. I was like, man, that's a powerful illustration for somebody. Me. When you're going through a hard time, a difficulty, a pandemic, a job loss, a financial issue, a relationship issue, addiction, you got to keep moving. You got to keep pressing forward because you don't know what's around the corner. And then to think that God blessed her in the way that she got this home. And then you hear she said, my kids can move. We're going to move today. We're going to let our kids play in the yard. So many things that many of us take for granted. But this is where Jesus is so awesome, man. He is not a remote God. Acts chapter 17 says it like this. No, he's right here with us. That our boss, the boss of the universe, moved into our neighborhood to challenge us to follow him. Not to sit and listen to sermons. Not to just sing songs. No, man, to move and become like him and change the world. How do you change the world? Through sermons? Maybe they help a little. Singing? Maybe. I don't know. But let me tell you, I guarantee you this. When you start meeting people's needs and you love them with a compassionate, uncomfortable love, and it causes you to get to an uncomfortable place, it reminds us of what he did for us. And we live and we move in him and we can't get away from him. This is the thing. When the Holy Spirit comes in your life, he didn't call you, he didn't come into your life for you to go, well, now I'm saved, that's just good, brother. Sing another song. That sermon didn't touch me, brother, but maybe next week will. Get up. Serve, move, give, find some way. Maybe this is the thing. Maybe you've been sitting so long that you stove up and that you blocked up. The good news is Jesus has the same invitation. You ready? Matthew 4:19. He says, come and follow me. Today is a new day. It's a new opportunity. Wake up. Get up. Let's go. John 10:10. He came to give us life and life in all its fullness. Do you feel like you're getting all that you can get? Or do you feel like, man, my addiction's killing me. Man, my divorce, I just don't think I'm going to be able to move anymore. I don't know how I'm going to handle this. What is it? Finances? I'm just so overwhelmed. Maybe you need to follow Jesus more instead of follow what everybody else is hollering at and what everybody else is wanting. And you go, Jesus, help me to follow you. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be challenging. But every time I take these steps, God, you always come through. I can tell you in my personal life. I can tell you in the Simple Church. I can tell you in Dallas, in these new beginnings. I'm like going, man, God, thank you for calling us to get uncomfortable. Because every time we do, you do something special. You do something different. So here's my question. Are you and I going to settle for your comfort? Or are you going to answer God's call? This is a challenge for me. Is as I age, I have a tendency to like the recliner more. Am I the only fat old guy in here saying that? Probably not. And as you age, you don't want to move. Some of you moved churches during this pandemic. Thank you. Because maybe, just maybe, you can go, all right, wait a second. I got another chance at life. I got another chance at doing something right now. I need to get active. If you move because you want to sit more and listen more, you jacked up. And this ain't the place for you, because my challenge in 14 years and what I hope and pray is that we get a movement of people. And as we move, it creates more movement, and police officers and communities get loved on and changed, and neighborhoods begin to realize that we're not against each other, we're for each other. And that communities around the world begin to go, man, there is hope found in Jesus. And when you go to Lebanon, which is uncomfortable, or Juarez, Mexico, the most deadly city in the world, or Honduras, you can never go there. It's scary down there. Every time, ask anybody who's gone, they all come back and go, change my life. Best moment of my life. It was uncomfortable. Man, yeah, I had to do some things I wasn't comfortable with, but God showed me something. It doesn't have to be overseas. It can happen right here. And guess what happens? It's like exercise, me in the gym. You can have exercise and go be committed to that, or you can have excuses. Is anybody with excuses like me? I've told you before, I joined a gym and never went, ever. I can brag and say that my wife joined Planet Fitness and I've gone twice, two more times than I went before. Can I get an amen out there, right? Here's my point. I can keep making excuses on exercise, or I can begin to exercise. You can still make excuses on your walk with God or following God, or you can really start going for it. No more excuses, dude. I'm going for it. It reminds me of a story in John chapter 5. You ready for this? One of my favorite stories in Scripture, because I can relate. In Jerusalem, there was a pool. This pool, the rumor was that an angel would come down and stir the waters, and if you jumped right in right then, you were the first to be healed. It was going to be awesome. And there were hundreds of sick people, blind people, paralyzed, crippled people hanging around there. And in that process, they gathered up. They started stacking up around there. And one man in this crowd had been there for, you ready for this? 38 years. Well, I'm never moving churches. I'm never really going to be a life group leader. I'm not going to really get involved in serving. And you've been saying that for 38 years. One day I'm going to go on a mission trip. One day I'm going to finally do something for God. And let me tell you something. Although Lebanon was canceled because of COVID and everything going on, we're still in Cedar Grove. Can I get an amen on that, Common Ground? We still have opportunities in this city to go and help and get involved and do something. So don't get discouraged when something gets shut down. Look for another place to move. Just keep moving. So here's the deal. 38 years. And what you look around real quick and you figure out is this guy had been surrounded by depressed people who made excuses. And they were going, one day I'm going to move. One day I'm going to join a life group. One day I'm going to get involved. And all that had happened. And then this is the thing. Then Jesus says to him, all right, he looks at there and he goes, man, how long have you been here? You see this right there, he's stretched out by the pool and he knew how long he'd been there. In his mind, he's going like, man, how long is this going on, right? So then he asked him the question that all of us need to be asked today. You ready? Do you want to get well? What a weird question. The guy's like, hey, man, I've been here for 38 years. I want to get well. But every time I try to get in, look what he said. The water stirred. I don't have any money. So in the same in the church, well, I was going to do a life group, but nobody showed up. I was going to try to do this, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't. My kids are too hard. He's too hard. You know, when you have to push them in the strong, you get them in. That's hard for me to do all that. Trust me. I get it. This is why I love the story, because I can find myself doing the same thing, making excuses on why I don't follow God or don't do what he asks or don't give like I should or don't have the impact. But then this is what I love about Jesus. It continues on. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in. Then Jesus just kind of interrupts him. Get up. Dude, that's like man talk right there. You ever had your kids just whining, well, Dad, get up. Well, Daddy, how's it? Get your tail out the bed. That's Justin. That's my translation. You should put Justin down there. And start walking. This is the thing, man. How many years are we going to make excuses on? Man, the world needs to be better. Man, we just need this. I can tell you, if government could fix it, it'd have been fixed a long time ago. Can I get an amen? Some of you are like, I don't even want to say that. I just don't want to say it. If government could fix it, it'd have been fixed. Both of you been in power at different times. Check your pulse. But maybe our problem is we're not following Jesus, the one who can solve it. Maybe we got so distracted and started making so many excuses and got around all of the other negative people around the pool and started listening and going, yep, you're right, and that's right. It'll never be that. I know, man, I tried to get in, my leg got hung. That person pulled me down. I was moving towards the pool, and I felt my shirt tugged. And he's going, all right, listen to me. Jesus just walks up. This is, dude, that's why I love Jesus. Just get up. Start walking. And then you go, well, what happened? You ready? Here it is. The man was healed on the spot. He picked up his bedroll and he walked off. I'm like, can you imagine that moment? You imagine all the other people around the crowd. Hey, man, remember the other paralyzed, the crippled, the blind? Hey, man, I'm right here. No, I'm trying to teach all of you a lesson, Jesus says. Like, listen, if you want it, get up and get it. If you want to get in the fight, you want to follow me, it's going to get uncomfortable, it's going to be messy, it's going to be difficult, but man, it's going to change your life. So get up. Now, if there's any other thing you need to hear today, this is the moment. Get your phone out, tweet it, forward it, take a selfie with it. Here it is. Jesus won't fix what we want to keep broken. If you like whining and complaining about politics, if you like whining and complaining about your addiction, If you like whining and complaining about your husband left you, your wife left you, and you just don't know how you're going to get on, things will just never be the same. If you're like the fact that you're whining about your health, I'm just so, oh my God, I'm so unhealthy. I'm so unhealthy. This is why I love him. He's like, I ain't worried about it. Then here's the deal. I won't fix what you want to keep broken, but if you won't change, follow me. Matter of fact, beep, beep, beep. What's that beeping, Justin? Oh, I know what it is. It's the moving truck that just backed up to your life. Put it on the screen, Kat, right there. And there it is. Because if you want to move, he's saying, let's load up. So if you're tired of staying where you're at and you're tired of walking through the same motions, you're tired of complaining and being negative, Jesus says, get up. I'm ready to step away from addiction. I'm ready to step away from fear. I'm ready to step away from loneliness. I'm ready to do something. You've been in a pandemic lockdown for a year, and some of you finally got here. I just need Jesus to speak to me today. Listen, because he's speaking to me, because I'm just like you. And when we don't move, you get stove up. And when you don't get moved, you get blocked up. And the only way you can get things flowing again is start moving. The truck is backed up, loaded up. Don't listen to all the negativity, all the fear, all the enemies trying to tell you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you what? Life, and life to the fullest. How do you get the fullest life? You follow him into the uncomfortable. You follow him. You move. You don't keep doing what you want to do and think it changes things. That's not the way the game works. If you're going to follow Jesus, every one of them disciples left their jobs, they left their families, they left their careers, and they were like, this is going to be uncomfortable. And then religious people came up, hey, man, I'll follow you. He said, no, you won't, because you don't like not having a bed. And then he'd say, okay, I'm going to follow you, but I need to go take care. I just lost someone. And this is serious. This is difficult. When you're burying your loved ones, and Jesus said, the dead will bury themselves. Let somebody else handle that. If you're following me, I need you to get on the bus now. And you go, man, that's insensitive. That's tough. No, it's because he knew their hearts. When you keep whining and complaining and you don't take any steps and you don't move, he's going, no, I don't want that for you. I came to give you life. No more excuses. Just move. Today in the lobby, there's life groups, boxes, so that you can get a life group, start a life group. Well, I don't know if I can. You ain't got to. 38 years, you can keep living like that. If you go, man, I need some help with addiction, man, I need some help with counseling, we have counselors available, we have addiction groups that are going on, we can move you in the right direction. Just say you want to move. You go, man, I need Jesus to change my life. I need something. I need a fresh start. That's what I love about him. Our God's not distant. He is near. He's in the house. He will move into your heart. The question is do you want him to? Do you want to move? And if you want to move, he said, come follow me. Would you pray with me? God, I pray that right now that you would encourage somebody, remind them that you know where they're at. You know what they're going through. You know how difficult it is. You know how challenging it is. And God, I know how selfish I can be. I know how comfortable I can want things. God, I can just see it in my own mind going through my life in the recent past and in the past before. It's like, I don't know if we can go there. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if we should try this. So God, I celebrate the fact that you're causing us to move into North Dallas. You're stretching us and you're pushing us to reach more people in that way. That you called us to go online and do things we've never done before. You caused us to move locations, place to place. You're causing us to go into Lebanon and Cedar Grove and help with police officers in our community. God, for bicycles that are being given to kids in poverty in our community, you're causing us to move, to keep moving. Why? Because when we do, we experience you in a fresh way, a new way. Help us, God, to get out of religion and jump into a relationship with you. Help us, God, to follow you and change the world we live in. If there's someone here, God, that has never surrendered their life, God, I don't want them to join a church. God, I don't want them to join a denomination. I want them to follow you. And that invitation is open. Help them, God, to get up, to take those steps. And as they admit, God, I'm messed up, I'm broken, I need you in my life, come into my life and change me. You promise to walk into their life and begin to change them. And then it is a daily walk, a daily step-by-step following of you into the best possible life ever. We love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on.